Mazzara and Parra project to Amimora. Herrera, Cabrera, don't let the Bay that scare ya. Machado, Orbado, or no.
The Braves are buyers and the Yankees are sellers. It's Bizarro Trade Deadline Day here on the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast. Okay, the Braves aren't exactly buyers, but you get the point. We'll talk about all the trades. And there's really a lot more from fantasy baseball because we have a whole weekend's worth of action to recap. Hey, good morning, Heath and Scott. How about that weekend? If you weren't making ad drops, you are losing in fantasy.
I'm just happy for both of you guys because your two teams were the two big winners of the weekend trade deadline.
You think so? Yeah. The Braves?
Yeah, they got Matt Kemp for absolutely nothing.
I mean, they have to pay him, you know.
Basically, they're going to have to pay him about $8.5 million a year.
Yeah, for the next, what, 3 or 4 years?
3 years.
3 years.
Which is a bargain.
Yeah, I'd say so.
He's
I mean,
a 15
it's a financial
a year, yeah.
commitment for a guy who's not, you know, he's not really a plus player anymore, but.
Oh, what do you mean? Like, he's a above average, not an above average defensive outfielder.
I think his WAR and Nick Markakis's are similar. So they got another Nick Markakis level player, but certainly filled a need in the middle of their lineup as a power hitter because he is immediately takes over as their top home run hitter. And it's really just him and Freeman. I think third on the Braves is Tyler Flowers with 7 home runs. So should help the offense a little.
I'm sure by the time this podcast is over, another trade will go down. It will probably be Jay Bruce. Looks like the Giants might be closing in on acquiring Jay Bruce.
The absolutely worst case scenario.
We don't want that.
No.
For Jay Bruce. That would be bad. At least the Mets would be a little bit better. Anyway, welcome everybody to the show. It's going to be partially trade deadline stuff, partially, you know, your typical weekend recap here. Tyler Skaggs had another good outing. You definitely want to pick this guy up already. If he can do it against Boston, why not add Tyler Skaggs, tell you about SeatGeek in a little bit. But I do think we have to start with the trade deadline stuff. And I think we could really just talk about who we added and dropped. So part one of who we added and dropped, I want you to tell me your ad drops this week, but they have to be related to the trade deadline. And then we'll do part two.
They have to, huh?
Part two unrelated to the trade deadline.
Okay.
But part one, based on trades that were made.
I definitely picked up Kelvin Herrera. And Tony Watson were my.
All right, Herrera wasn't related to the trade deadline.
We'll make an exception, though. We'll make an exception.
Oh, okay.
Wade Davis is on the DL with a flexor strain in his right forearm. Do you think Wade Davis is going to pitch again this year?
He shouldn't.
Yeah, Herrera's a... Well, okay, so look, we got new closers, right? Let's just start with that. It's a good place to start.
Okay.
Herrera, Tony Watson in Pittsburgh.
And we haven't mentioned the biggest one of all.
Well, Andrew Miller, we'll get there.
No, Betances. Betances, yes.
The Yankees going to win 5 games the rest of the season. He will have 5 saves.
On. Well, and the thing is, the reason I didn't mention Betances, I guess, is because I couldn't find a league where he was not owned.
Yeah, I didn't actually add him anywhere either. Although at the time that trade went down, he was only 59% owned. So there were plenty of leagues out there where he was available. And
should be 99.999 now.
Immediately a top 5 closer in fantasy, yes.
Yeah, I don't know if I agree just because I'm worried about the save chances.
Even if he does, I mean, he's on pace for his third straight 130 strikeout season. It's going to be a close call between him and Mike Leake, who gets more strikeouts this year.
I did read that in your column. It was funny. I actually dropped Mike Leake. Now look, I obviously Betances is a must add, but if I sit here and said, I guess it doesn't really matter. I don't think people have this choice, but if I sit here and said, who would you rather have, Tony Watson or Dellin Betances?
Betances. Easily. Yeah.
I just think Watson might get a lot more chances.
It's possible. I don't know about
a lot more. Yeah. I mean, I don't think really any closer gets a lot more chance than any other.
Not in 2 months.
He might get more.
The Yankees are not going to They're not going to be good, but they're not going to be the Braves or the Reds or something like that.
Right.
They're still going to win 49% of their games, probably.
I think they did a pretty good job getting. They got back Tyler Clippard. They got back Adam Warren. They brought up Severino, who's been so far so good out of the bullpen. So I actually think as long as they don't trade Beltran, or they probably will, they might still be able to get the ball to Betances and he'll be fine. But Jake Barrett is probably out there in a lot of leagues. Tony Watson is now closing for the Pirates. Who else, you know, are you excited about these guys?
All but Barrett. All but Barrett. I mean, Kelvin Herrera has great peripherals too. Not quite Betances level, because really only Andrew Miller and Jansen and Aroldis Chapman really come close to Betances's peripherals. But Kelvin Herrera could be a dominant closer, provided Wade Davis does miss the rest of the season. It's only a grade one strain, so it's not a guarantee he will.
Right. We should say the Royals have said they're optimistic he'll be back in 2 weeks. I just think by the time 2 weeks rolls around and you're 12 games out of first place, you might as well just shut him down for the year.
Yeah.
It's my opinion.
Yeah, no, they might do that. And Tony Watson, I mean, look, Mark Melancon has been pretty reliably a top 12 closer, and I think Tony Watson, other than the fact he throws left-handed, very similar pitcher. Unproven in the role, of course, but I don't worry about that so much. I didn't quite move him up to where Melancon was in my rankings. He's Tony Watson's right there around, just ahead of like the Sam Dyson, Will Harris group of relievers, clearly in the top 20. And there's a lot of sparps in there that push him back even further. So if you're just assessing him based on closers, I'd say definitely top 15 for Watson. So the way I was ranking these guys, Betances clear number one, then Watson, I'd go as far as to call him must-add. Then Kelvin Herrera just a little behind him because of the uncertainty how long he keeps the role. And then I can't even think of his first name.
Jake Barrett.
The new Diamondbacks closer. What was the name?
Jake.
I always want to call him Aaron Barrett, but that's a different guy.
It's not Aaron.
Jake Barrett was way back of that group, kind of down with the Brandon Kinstlers of the world.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. Heath, any disagreement there?
No, I pretty much agree with that. The most interesting of all the closer movements is going to be what happens in Cleveland. Right. I updated my closer rankings this morning to try to reflect everything that had happened so far. And I just wanted to use I have numbers in my rankings next to every player, and I'd like to have Andrew Miller and Cody Allen, with Miller ahead of him because he's better, and just the shrug emoji. Because I don't have any idea, and you can go online and you can read what Terry Francona said, and that's not going to make you feel any better about the situation at all. There's no clarity at all there. I don't think it's anywhere close to a foregone conclusion that Miller is just going to get all the saves.
The Indians were almost defiant in keeping it a secret.
Right.
Like, that's all anybody wanted to know, who's going to close. Well, figure it out.
Well, I mean, Francona said that he talked to Miller and said when all of them were in the same room, they could all sit down and have a talk about it.
Yeah.
Like, I think they are a couple of things. I think Francona would like to just play matchups more. But I think also they are extremely worried about chemistry.
Maybe. Look, matchups are going to be important for them because they don't really have... I think they have one other left-hander in the bullpen, but it's not a guy they can rely on in eighth, late in the game.
And Andrew Miller has been a guy that's been really okay with pitching just about anywhere, right?
Oh, yeah, no, he's...
Great teammate.
Yeah, he has been. So that would make it easy. Like, it just... My own sensibilities tell me you can't give up that much for a non-closer, but that's what we were saying about Ken Giles in the offseason, and you know, obviously he wasn't closer right away. It turns out he didn't deserve to close, at least not out of the gate. But Andrew Miller being proven in this role, I think the way it's going to play out is they're going to split save opportunities to start out. Probably Miller getting preferential treatment, but you know, maybe he comes in earlier when he's facing a critical left-hander, whatever, and Allen still gets some saves. But the moment Allen slips up at all, I think they could do away with that and just go Miller the rest of the time. That's kind of how I imagine it playing out. I wouldn't be dropping Miller.
No.
I wouldn't be dropping Allen, but I think in the long run, you're going to get more out of Miller than Allen.
Yeah. Now, if you're wondering, you can absolutely drop Jonathan Papelbon. He is okay with moving out of the ninth inning. He will be moving out of the ninth inning for Melancon. I have to decide this week, am I going to start? And I don't know. It's a huge week. I think it's for the playoffs. I think they start pretty early in this league. Am I going to start Jake Barrett, or am I going to start Cody Allen? And I have not made that decision yet. Now,
I'd probably start Barrett, to be perfectly honest. Yeah.
Heath, you need me to lose in that league. What do you recommend?
I think you should just set an illegal lineup.
Last thing. You mentioned Ken Giles. I picked up Ken Giles in a roto league. I have Will Harrison. And I'm not basing this on anything. I think they would, if they made a move, I think they would put Giles in that role before Gregerson.
He has been dominant.
Oh, yeah. Both Giles and Gregerson have been great. Giles has been, like, otherworldly. Like, to the point where, almost like Dellin Betances, he's worth owning in roto leagues. Ken Giles, even if he's not getting saves, he's been so good. And Harris just struggling again. You know, I read up on this. I know we've kind of transitioned away from trade deadline stuff, but I read up on this a little bit in the Houston Chronicle, and they didn't make anything of it with Harris blowing the save. He was late covering first base on an infield hit that would have ended the game. And, you know, two runs scored after that happened. I think one run scored on that play. But they just, you know, treated it like very ho-hum. There's no changes coming. I don't know. Will Harris has not been very good for, I would guess, about a month now. Ken Giles is pitching much better. I think they're finally getting their return on the investment. And I wouldn't be surprised if he's the next guy who becomes a closer, unless there's some type of trade today.
Here's the thing. Because I agree with you totally about how Will Harris has been pitching lately, but then I go and look at his numbers for the month of July, and he struck out 12.4 batters per nine with a 30% strikeout rate, and he did have a WHIP of 1.6.
Well, yeah,
his
there you
FIP,
go.
His FIP was 2.3.
You can stop at the 1.6 WHIP.
That's the only thing that matters.
Well, he's obviously been a little lucky. He's stranding a lot of guys.
Either that or he had a 478 BABIP against.
All right. Well, look, I didn't drop Will Harris. I didn't drop him. I'm just saying, if you own Will Harris, I don't know who you guys think the guy would be to get. I'm going with Giles. I think they'd keep Gregerson in the role that he's been really good at in the eighth inning and finally say, look, we traded for this guy to be our closer. Let's make it Ken Giles.
I'm overlooking anyone. I may be overlooking Andrew Miller, but I can't think of a better setup man in baseball. Like, Ken Giles is back to being the most dominant setup man in baseball.
Now that Kelvin Herrera is a closer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and also Jim Johnson might get moved today, so could be Mauricio Cabrera. Withrow also pitched the eighth over the weekend. All right, so anything else? Jonathan Lucroy vetoed a trade to Cleveland. Matt Kemp to the Braves for Hector Olivera, who is either going to get waived or already did.
Officially, I think it happens today. He gets DFA'd.
DFA'd, yeah.
So it was strictly a move for the Padres to save whatever it was, $8.5 million over the next 3 years.
Man, I would not be happy if I was a Padres fan. How disgusting.
And let's see. What do you think about Matt Kemp? Value up, down, or the same going to Atlanta?
I think it has to go down a little. The lineup is... Where the Padres lineups actually turned out to be not so bad, but Atlanta's, of course, is very bad.
Padres lineup is pretty bad now, though.
It's gotten worse.
They've gone back to being a very good streaming matchup, I think, for starting pitchers.
I don't think really Kemp loses anything in terms of home run potential, but he's just has less protection, less chance to score. Maybe Freeman's value goes up a little because he's going to have some protection now, finally, somebody to drive him in a little. Turns out Freeman himself has really picked things up recently. He's moved ahead of Brandon Belt in head-to-head production to date. So doesn't necessarily need help, but I'm sure it's appreciated.
Kemp has a 854 OPS on the road this year and 684 at home. He's been much better on the road, but last year it was kind of the opposite. He was a lot better at home than on the road. You guys make anything of Matt Kemp this year having a much better OPS, almost about 170 points better on the road?
Not really, no.
Okay. Jonathan Lucroy vetoed a trade to Cleveland. The Orioles acquired Wade Miley for left-handed pitcher Ariel Miranda. Bad move for Miley, who's been pitching pretty darn well lately.
Yeah, the Orioles. Go get a good pitcher.
They just, keep wasting their time with these scrubs.
Well, Miley is pretty available and, had a very good start at the Cubs over the weekend.
He should stay that way.
18% owned and 4 quality starts in his last 5. Any interest?
Nope. Yeah. Nope. None at all.
Really bad ballpark for him. And that's pretty much it, I think, right, for the trades?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we haven't really mentioned, and I guess it's not terribly fantasy relevant, but Yankees were, for other than having a new closer in Dellin Betances, they came out of this looking pretty good, restocking the farm system, giving up a couple of relievers for two close to elite prospects in Clint Frazier and Gleyber Torres. So
yeah,
I think you would be excited about that, Adam.
They're going to make Frazier cut his hair, so it doesn't matter.
Yes, that is actually true. No, I'm happy. I think it's good that not only did they sell and get good players, but that it seems like all the fans are on board. Getting swept by the Rays certainly helps helps the cause.
Knee-jerk reaction.
And they still have put themselves, unless they trade Beltran, in a chance to, you know, at least they're not good enough, but they didn't completely leave the cupboard bare. If they make some miraculous run, they still have pieces in place. Next step is if they trade Nova, does Severino, just trying to keep it fantasy relevant, does Severino enter the rotation? And he probably would if they sell Nova. And would you guys be interested if Severino joins the Yankees rotation again?
I'd have moderate interest. I'd prefer to add like a Jose Berrios, who's back in the rotation, making 2 starts this week.
Yeah. Yeah.
After dominant performance at AAA, 1.46 ERA in his last 8 starts. So, yeah, as much as I needed pitching, I was adding Berrios a lot.
All right, tomorrow I think we'll talk more about winners and losers. You know who I think is a kind of a loser now is Brandon Mauer. He's been pitching pretty well, but I just feel like the Padres, their rotation.
Yeah, you're right.
They sold their whole major league team except for Will Myers. It's ridiculous.
Derek Norris is next.
Yeah, well, so we'll talk about all that tomorrow. For now, here's a chance to save $20 when you buy tickets to a game or a concert. I am all about SeatGeek.com and the SeatGeek app, the only place I go when I look to buy or sell tickets. I got the app on my phone. I used it for my Rob Thomas Counting Crows concert tickets. That's Friday, baby. I'm mildly excited. But using SeatGeek made it very, very convenient. I'm going to keep using it because SeatGeek does all the work for me, makes the process so much easier than it used to be. SeatGeek searches multiple ticket sites and ensures that you get the best deal. That's extremely important. It saves you time and it saves you money. And when you look at the tickets on the app, you're going to see they're ranked based on value, so you can immediately see the best bargains. It's really a cool feature. I think you're really going to like it if you try SeatGeek. I started using SeatGeek, and now I'm hooked. By far the best site or app I've ever used for tickets. I mean that. Please start using it. And best of all, our listeners get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. To get $20 off or to get a $20 rebate on tickets, download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab, and click add a promo code. Enter the promo code FANTASY, all caps, FANTASY. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Again, our offer code on SeatGeek is FANTASY, all capital letters. All right, the big news. We mentioned Wade Davis is on the DL. We mentioned that Minnesota's calling up Jose Berrios. Who would you consider dropping for Jose Berrios? Mike Leake?
Sure. Yeah, you can drop him. I'm trying to think who I actually did drop.
Ian Kennedy?
Probably not. I don't know why I still hold out hope for Ian Kennedy. I guess. I just see the strikeout rate and the big
He was decent yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah. But obviously, much bad is good lately.
I've got an interesting question here. Would you rather start Berrios this week or John Gray with 2 home starts?
Oh, John Gray. No hesitation.
2 home starts against the Marlins and Dodgers.
He's just as good at home. It's on
well,
the road.
That's not really true, is it?
Pretty close.
Yeah, he's not. Honestly, it's not that far from true. I think that his two of his worst starts since he became really good, John Gray, were at the Cardinals and at the Yankees. And they've sort of inflated his ERA and probably lowered his ownership percentage. The Cardinals start was just a bad one. The Yankees start, he was pitching with a tired arm. Other than that, been pretty darn good. And the thing is with Berrios, sorry, I keep cutting you off.
No, it's okay.
He really was so bad.
He was awful.
So I haven't picked him up, and I don't really care to.
And the very first two starts Gray had this season were at home, and they were both awful.
Right.
And then he kind of took off after that. So we're just forgetting April existed.
Okay.
I mean, he's been as dominant at home as on the road. And I think he's pretty close to being must start. I moved him into my top 35, I want to say, in my starting pitcher rankings yesterday, shifting guys like Stephen Wright down and a few others. Dallas Keuchel, I think, is moved behind John Gray for me.
Oh, yeah. 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 I dropped Keuchel quite a ways. Not quite as far as I dropped Sonny Gray after his.
Yeah.
I just.
Sonny Gray.
I actually dropped Sonny Gray. You were right, Adam, last week.
About Sonny Gray?
I needed one more bad start, but I dropped him in a couple of leagues this weekend.
I would not.
It was kind of a spite drop.
That's so funny. It was the same turning point for both of us. I dropped him like 30 spots in my rankings after this latest start.
Yeah.
Something's not right with Sonny Gray.
Done with him.
Dallas Keuchel got destroyed by Detroit. So a couple things on Detroit. They really embarrassed Colin McHugh and Dallas Keuchel, both of who have been pitching pretty well over the weekend. They're playing very well. They've been a streaky team all year. And, you know, Skaggs is obviously a trendy guy to pick up right now. I'll see where he is on the most added list. He's up there. He's now 71% owned. He's sixth on the most added list. I'm starting a one-start Tyler Skaggs over a one-start Jose Quintana. I don't know that I love it, but Quintana's got the Tigers this week, and I'm just kind of afraid of what they're going to do to him. but Keuchel has Detroit this week, or has Texas this week, and he's already had three bad starts this year against Texas. So I don't know. I don't want to overreact because Keuchel had a 2.72 ERA in seven starts before getting pounded by the Tigers on Sunday. But would you guys start him this week at home against the Texas Rangers, who again have gotten him three times already this year?
I'd rather not. I mean, I think
there's a lot of pitchers out there on the waiver wire that you can start over Dallas Keuchel against the Rangers, I feel like.
Right.
Anybody that you've picked up in particular that you would start, like John Gray, two start John Gray?
Well, for sure, two start. John Gray. I'm to I'd the rather point start where I'd probably start one start Gray over him.
Yes, I'd rather start two start Jimmy Nelson.
That's going a little deeper than I would. I did pick up a two start CC Sabathia in a couple leagues though. I'd go with him
Indians.
Over one start.
So you like Sabathia better than Jimmy Nelson?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I don't.
I don't. I don't. What do you like about Jimmy Nelson?
He's got the Padres this week and the Diamondbacks. Now the Diamondbacks are a bad matchup, but both of them are away from Miller Park. Good strikeout potential against righty heavy hefty lineups. I feel like Sabathia, like we talked about the Stephen Wright pixie dust wearing off, and Sabathia's is gone, right?
I feel like, and we talked about this, I think, last time he pitched, the last few times he's pitched, really. I mean, he had that, his last start was good after, I think, a stretch of five or six, not so good, but seemed like a lot of bad ball luck during that rough stretch. A lot of singles.
Well, you get
swinging
that
strike
when you strike out two batters to start.
Right, but he had his two best swinging strike games of the season during that rough stretch. The velocity still up on his fastball like it has been the last 3 months or so. I think that was more just bad luck than a regression to the mean for Sabathia.
Okay, well, one of those starts is against the Mets, so I picked up Nate Eovaldi because at this point I'm just trying to steal wins, and the Mets, he's facing the Mets this week. They're bad. I don't think Cespedes, like I don't know, but if I had to guess either way, I think Cespedes is not going to play a lot this week. You know, I mean, I can't trust it with him. In fact, owners have
starting.
Tough decisions to make this week, guys. Mm-hmm. Tulo, chip fracture in his thumb. He might go on the DL. Trevor Story, sore thumb. Aledmys Diaz, hand contusion. Daniel Murphy dealing with leg tightness. Cespedes, like I mentioned, quad tightness, and it's been a recurring thing for him. I don't know. How many of those guys would you start? Tulo, Story, Diaz, Daniel Murphy, and Cespedes?
Probably none if I could help him. Murphy, I think I'd come the closest to starting just because he's so high-end. I think it would make a difference too if it's a head-to-head league versus a roto league where, you know, you don't want to bank that loss, of course, in a head-to-head league. So you could risk it a little more in a roto league. If a guy doesn't play for 3 days, it's not going to show up as much in the standings as it wouldn't a head-to-head league.
Yeah.
So if you're strapped for roster space in a roto format, maybe you roll the dice on them. With the exception, I think, of Cespedes and Tulowitzki, because I think those two, I'd be surprised if they avoided DL stints.
You feel the same way about Cespedes?
Yeah, Cespedes and Tulo, I expect to go on the DL.
Yeah, Rich Hill is going to start on Friday.
But Tulo played the day after and hit a home run, right?
No, that was the day of, I thought.
I thought the injury happened on Saturday and he played the next day.
Okay, right. That's what I thought originally, too.
Yeah, I
believe. Let's check this, because that would be important to know.
I got confused by that, because I wrote it down on Sunday morning, and then I saw him play, and I was like, I got very confused. It blew my mind. But I saw another thing about it after the game on Sunday. So check on Tulo. Ryan Braun has missed four straight games with side tightness. Craig Counsell's hoping he can start today. I jinxed Ryan Braun. I apologize. But the thing is, Braun does play tonight. All the games start, or, you know, the early games start at 7:05, so p.m. Eastern. You'll have time to see if Braun's in the lineup. Jose Reyes is on the DL. If you're in a deep league, you're going to get your share of Wilmer Flores, because Asdrubal Cabrera is also got a bad injury. He's strained a tendon in his knee, and he might go on the DL. So, like I said, the Mets are an absolute mess right now. Would you guys trust Rich Hill this week? He keeps having his starts pushed back. He's supposed to start on Friday. You know, what do you think?
No. How many weeks in a row has Rich Hill been supposed to start on Friday?
Right.
Like, it seems like every week he's supposed to start on Friday or Saturday.
Yep. Yeah, it's supposed to be Sunday this week.
Yeah, there's no way.
All right, so here's the story on Troy Tulowitzki. He was hit by a Chris Tillman pitch on Sunday.
So it was Sunday.
And he returned to the field, but he left prior to his next plate appearance because he wasn't able to grip the bat properly. So,
no, I'd say he's going on the DL. I agree.
Mm. Who would have thought it? Troy Tulowitzki on the DL. Also, Josh Harrison left Sunday's game with a leg injury. Denard Span and Brandon Crawford are expected to return to the lineup tomorrow. Colin Ray was off to a great start in his Marlins career, and then he went on the DL with an elbow sprain that could be a bad one. Brad Boxberger is back, but Alex Colomé got three saves this weekend. Doug Fister might miss today's start for the birth of his child, which means Joe Musgrove would likely get called up to start for the Astros. Pretty good prospect there.
We know how successful Astros prospects have been this year.
Oh, boo.
Starter said Alex Bregman on that
There's
subject.
No way you can start him.
I am starting Alex Bregman. Come on.
Why?
He struck out five times in the 22 at-bats. It's not like he's overmatched up there. Bad BABIP luck. It'll come around.
Okay. Almost hit a grand slam in his first career game, but alas, he didn't. And what does he have? One hit?
One for 22.
One for 22. Must start.
And what's funny, I think I saw that the if he struck out five times, that means he's made contact on 17 balls. The single came on the fourth softest contact he made, and those 17 batted balls.
I mean, but even if his luck turns around, it's not like... It's not like he'd been so good. Like, if he just had normal luck, I don't know that he'd be any good. Right.
I don't know if that was the third softest ball that he's hit, but if it was, it must have been really soft because he's hit 17% of his balls hard.
I'm not saying he's must start, but let's say you have Aledmys Diaz, you have Troy Tulowitzki. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not going to be afraid to sub Alex Bregman in for those guys. It's not like I'm scouring.
So
the
you will start Alex Bregman over guys that you don't think you're going to play.
Yeah.
Okay. I would agree with that.
I wouldn't go searching the waiver wire for a replacement. You're not dropping Bregman, and you're not finding someone to start over Bregman. If you were counting on Bregman to play for you, I think you can continue to count on him to play for you.
If any comment ever summed up Heath Cummings, it was what he just said to Scott.
Well, no, we said I'm starting Alex Bregman to start, and then it was if Tulo or Diaz are your other option.
Oh, Heath. Demerit to you.
You're just ignoring the nuances of roster management with that comment, Heath.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you for putting it more eloquently than, oh, Heath, demerit for you.
He is a top 25 shortstop this week.
Oh, God. All right, on the men, Zach Greinke's going to make one more rehab start, then he'll join the Arizona rotation, hopefully. J.D. Martinez and Jordan Zimmermann could be back this week, probably late this week for J.D. Martinez. I don't think you want to start him. Craig Kimbrel could be back today or tomorrow. I'm not sure if they play today.
Yay!
They're on the West Coast. They do play today. He might come back today. Let's see. We got Matt Carpenter and Brandon Moss. They could be back this week. Yasiel Puig returned to the lineup. He doubled twice on Sunday. How confident do you feel starting Yasiel Puig?
Not very.
I would rather start him than Bregman.
I wouldn't.
CJ Cron could be back in 2 weeks. As we look at some hitters, well, it's time to talk about ads here. And Hernan Perez is probably where we should start. He's up to 35% owned. And he is on a tear, 370 batting average, 3 home runs, and 8 steals since the All-Star break. 16 games. I think he's played in 15 of them. He has 8 steals. Now, Perez has been better against lefties all year. 8 left-handed starters faced by Milwaukee in 16 games since the All-Star break. That's great.
That helps.
Yeah.
Yeah, but still, he is the most added hitter. I mean, you got a lot of closers up there, but in the most added list. But Hernan Perez is the most added hitter in fantasy. Do you guys see anything there?
Well, the steals. I mean, yeah. As desperate as everybody is for those, obviously it would have to be a league where those are required, like a roto league. But I don't have a lot of confidence in the bat. I don't see him as a points league pickup at all.
Okay. I'm going to just bring up a name that I've added instead of adding him, and you guys can all make fun of me for being a homer now, because I got to make fun of or give Scott a hard time just a second ago. So
Billy Burns.
Not Billy Burns.
I
didn't realize, like, for 2 or 3 weeks now, I've been battling this Eugenio Suarez other crappy third baseman situation, and every time I go to pick up a player, the first thing it shows you is the sports line projections. And the number one projected third baseman is always Chesler Cuthbert. That's available on the waiver wire. And I'm always like, I don't want Chesler Cuthbert. He's not good. He can't hit. And so finally, after 3 weeks of this happening, I went and looked at Chesler Cuthbert since Mike Moustakas went down. In the month of June, he hit .283 with an .844 OPS. That's good. It's very good. .228 ISO. The month of July, he's at .340 with an .862 OPS. He's basically, over those 2 months, been Adrian Beltre in terms of fantasy points.
All right.
I would rather pick him up than Perez.
I think depending on what you need. I mean, it's not going to give you the steals, Perez.
He will not give you any steals. I think he'll be better at everything else.
What I wonder is how have you been that desperate at third base? I mean, I feel like in most of my leagues, I'm having to talk myself into adding Yanhervis Solarte just because I don't really need him.
Well, it's a 16-team league.
Well, he hasn't played for a week.
Right, but you get what I'm saying. It's whoever it happens to be, Ryan Schimpf, Jed Jerko. I mean, I do think Cuthbert's better than those. But,
right.
Yeah, well,
Danny Valencia, I've been dropping in places.
Right, like I hardly ever am looking for a third baseman.
Well, that's the thing. Like Danny Valencia, I picked him up in a couple of places, but for the last 2 months, Cuthbert's been better than he has.
Yeah, I guess. I guess he's on the margins there. Is this a roto league where you were having trouble filling this third base spot or head to head?
It's a head to head, but it's 16 teams.
Yeah, 16 teams.
I guess I missed that. Sorry. Yeah, I would say Cuthbert. That's perfect format for Cuthbert.
Dudes, how about Mitch Moreland? 8 for his last 13 with 4 home runs since in his last 4 games, and he's got 7 homers since the All-Star break. And he has sat 2 of the last 3 times the Rangers have faced a lefty, but Mitch Moreland is ripping it up, and he's 27% owned.
Yeah, I mean, he has been hot. I just I worry what that means for Joey Gallo's playing time in the long run.
Well, it means they should play Mitch Moreland.
I'd rather Mitch Moreland just go away because I don't think he's good for anybody's fantasy team.
Well, they've been playing Profar a little bit in the outfield, DHing one of the two, Moreland and Gallo, and using the other at first base. I think mostly right. DHing Gallo.
Yeah, they're getting them all in the lineup for now.
At this stage in their career, Mitch Moreland's better for your fantasy team than Joey Gallo is.
Well, that could change tomorrow. I mean, we know the limits to Mitch Moreland's upside. He's basically a 16-team league type player.
Yeah, Joey Gallo is overmatched right now,
but David Dahl is not, guys. 68%
that's correct.
Owned.
David Duvall is not at all.
Hey, can I call you out now on being a homer on something that's actually legit? Because your Cuthbert argument was pretty good.
Okay.
You picked up, and I brought this up when you were off the air, or when you weren't on the air. I brought it up on the show last week.
Uh huh.
You picked up Alex Gordon instead of Adam Duvall last week. That is indefensible.
Indefensible.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's indefensible.
There's no defense. Alex Gordon has been, God, one of the worst regulars. I mean, come on, he's terrible. And you picked him up this is must win time, and you couldn't put your Royals jersey away to pick up Adam Duvall, who's been better all year.
He was better for the entire first half. Has he woken back up?
Has Alex Gordon?
Yeah, he had a 3-hit game the day that I added him.
What was his BABIP in that game, Heath?
Well, it was probably really high if he had 3 hits. So Duvall has woken up a little bit. Yeah, I probably should have picked up Duvall.
Okay, I just wanted to call you out.
He had been so bad, I felt like.
Yeah, that's why I picked up Tyler Naquin over him in that same league.
Right, and really, the way that we know things work, Duvall's probably going to be better than Naquin here on out, because Naquin needs to have happened to him what just happened to Duvall.
Which is what?
Regression.
Oh, well, I mean, he's playing pretty well. Yeah, he might regress, but...
He's got like a 420 BABIP, doesn't he?
He won't regress to the Alex Gordon level. I'm confident in that.
Okay.
Guys, would you start Andrew McCutchen? 3 at Atlanta, 3 against Cincinnati this week. Mike Foltynewicz. Yes, I don't even have to read the matchups.
There's not matchups on those teams that would make me not start him, so yes.
I know, he's got great matchups. He's been a black hole. In fact, if I had a better option, I might have a better option, in our podcast points league.
In my 10-team categories league, he was dropped.
Oh.
So I went ahead and dropped Jacoby Ellsbury and picked him up.
Yeah, I wouldn't drop him. But I think it's realistic to sit him, McCutchen.
Not against these matchups.
I think he had good matchups last week.
Now, wait. In the notes here, you have 3 at Atlanta and 2 against Cincinnati. He's got 6 games, right?
It's a typo, yeah.
Okay, 5 games I could see sitting him. 6 games against those pitchers, I'm starting him.
Yeah, all right. Anything else in the bullpen, guys? We talked. Oh, Steve Cishek. Woo! Woo! What a crazy game last night. Travis Wood, I think, played left field.
That's awesome.
It's just crazy. It was the most Joe Maddon game of all time. But yeah, Steve Cishek gave up 3 runs, blew his 6th save. Edwin Diaz is 13% owned. Is that someone worth stashing?
That's a high number of blown saves for Cishek, but. I mean, his numbers are good. Like, I haven't really had any concerns about that until just now, you bringing up that blown save total.
I know. He has these bad outings, and he always seems to bounce back.
Tons of strikeouts, 106 whip. I don't know. Diaz is interesting. I think he's probably their long-term closer, but I don't think they're close to making that move.
All right, fellas. Let me tell you about FanDuel. Unfortunately, we're at the point of the season. We're realizing, hey, this team stinks. I cannot win with this seasonal team. When does the season end? Put me out of my misery. I want a new team.
It's only 2/3 over.
Well, not in some leagues. We've got a league where this is our last week of the regular season.
Oh, yes, that's true.
You can have 1, you could have 2, you can have 3, you can have 30 teams every single day on FanDuel.com. Heath has like 60 every day. Not quite that much, but it feels that much. If you're tired of your seasonal team, if you're looking for a new challenge, you want to win some money, FanDuel.com, people. Select a lineup, stay under the salary cap, watch some baseball, win some money, give you a new reason to watch, different players that you're not used to watching every day and track them for your fantasy teams. I love FanDuel.com. I know our listeners love FanDuel.com. If you haven't tried it, FanDuel is making it easy for you. Enter your first league and either win a cash prize in that league, or FanDuel will automatically refund your entry fee up to $10 for additional play. Go to FanDuel.com, click the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, and use our promo code HOMERUN when you sign up. That promo code is HOMERUN, one word with no spaces, on FanDuel.com.
Do you want some exciting FanDuel news?
Yeah.
We've got prices and contests for week 1 of the NFL season.
Oh, awesome.
So you can just go spend hours building lineups for the NFL.
Get into our Fantasy Football Today podcast, by the way. We're going 5 times a week now. We're going to start our position previews, I think, on Wednesday or Thursday. By the way, Heath, we're starting our position previews on Wednesday or Thursday.
I am going on vacation on Thursday and not back until next Monday.
Oh, okay. He doesn't care about your position
preview. I'd actually already emailed that to you.
Yeah, I did know that.
Over the weekend.
Yeah.
And so you chose to start positional previews as soon as I go out of town.
I think we'll start on Wednesday, so you could be part of quarterbacks.
Thanks Great. For inviting me to your production meeting, guys.
Yeah, you're very welcome, Scott.
Yeah.
Let's go over some of the pitchers from over the weekend. Actually, I didn't ask you guys part two of who you added and dropped. Anyone really interesting that you added over the weekend?
That was not related to the trade deadline and the closer shakeup going on. I don't think so. Barrios was probably the most interesting one.
I already told you all the guys that I added, even though it wasn't part of the segment.
That's all right. I knew you would. And I added Drew Smyly.
Okay.
I dropped him last week after holding on to him the entire year.
And yeah.
He has a really good start against the Yankees.
Really good's overstating it.
Why? It was really good, wasn't it?
His last two starts have been a dramatic improvement from how he had been pitching, but he has a combined 7 strikeouts in them. So.
Well, he had 1 in the first one. He had 6 against the Yankees.
Still, 6 strikeouts for my expectations of what Drew Smyly could be. That's letting me down.
But 6 strikeouts would be a great game for CeCe Sabathia. It's all relative.
It'd be a normal game.
6 innings, 4 hits, 2 runs, 1 walk, 6 strikeouts was a good start for Drew Smyly. And I think for me, it was a pride thing. If I cut him just before he regained whatever form he had in the first month of the year, and I lost all of that, I would have been so annoyed. So I was like, no, I have to get this guy back on my team. So he's on my team.
I've got another one that I added, especially for points leagues. I'm surprised he hasn't been added more, and that's Dylan Bundy.
Yeah.
2 start week this week. He's the only relief pitcher eligible still, I think.
He is. That's kind of frustrating, actually. I wanted to use him as a starter, but now I might start him over Steve Cishek.
Yeah, I would.
Would you have added a Blake Snell over Drew Smyly, Adam?
Oh, hell yeah. I just traded for Blake Snell.
Definitely.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, 2 9 strikeout games in his last 4. What about Sean Manaea?
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Sean Manaea is only 45% owned and has been on a much more impressive run than Drew Smyly has. 0 walks in his last 4 starts.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, the worst of those 4 was the most recent one, and he had 9 strikeouts in that game. So definitely showing signs of improvement. A lot of young, hard-throwing left-handers, I think, in particular.
And another 2-star pitcher.
Yeah, have control problems coming up.
Yeah.
Naya seems to be overcoming those.
45% owned at the Angels, home against the Cubs this week for Sean Manaea. So I will be starting him. Would you start these guys? Jake Odorizzi, I think he's got a home start against the Royals this week. He's
just
pitching well.
Yeah, no thank you.
I don't see him as a 1-star. He has been pitching better, but I don't really care to use him in a 1-start week, no matter the matchup.
Any concerns about Noah Syndergaard at Detroit, Jake Arrieta at Oakland, Felix Hernandez, did not look up his matchup, I can do that, Steven Matz at the Yankees?
Well, definitely not Arrieta at Oakland. And I'd probably start Syndergaard. I mean, tough matchup, and he's been a little underwhelming lately. I think it looks a lot worse because he's 0-2 in his last 4 starts.
No, I'll start Syndergaard for sure.
Yeah, I think he's still a must-start.
And Mets.
I don't know. Yankees aren't the worst matchup, particularly if they trade Beltran, but...
Oh, they're great Beltran.
Sitting Matz is my opportunity to get a 2-star Manaea in, or even like a 2-star Sabathia, I think I'd do that. I don't feel like Matz is coping with his elbow injury as well as Syndergaard is with his, even though I'd say both have regressed a little.
Yeah.
Because of them.
Felix Hernandez has the Angels this week.
I'm probably starting him.
Okay. How about these guys? We talked about Keuchel. You're going to, maybe sit him against Texas. Sonny Gray, you got to sit him against the Cubs.
Drop him. Spite drop.
Spite drop.
Seriously, who would you drop Sonny Gray for? Would you drop Sonny Gray for Sean Manaea?
Yes.
Yes, quickly.
Okay. Would you drop him for Drew Smyly?
No.
I dropped him for two-start Jimmy Nelson.
Okay. Would you drop him for two-start Zach Eflin, who has one of his starts at the Padres?
No.
Okay. Drew Pomerantz at Seattle this week. Start or sit?
Start.
Carlos Martinez. He's got three starts in his last four, issuing four walks, but he does have Atlanta this week.
Must start.
Okay. Steven Wright at the Dodgers this week.
I don't know. I'd rather avoid him until we see some signs of a turnaround. Seems like maybe the hot weather is holding him back.
I've made an excuse for Steven Wright almost every time he's pitched. I'll make another one. You ready?
Yep.
He gave up 10 hits in 5 innings. 9 of them were singles.
Yeah.
That's very valid.
I mean, but this is the fact, Adam. Last 7 starts, a 6.18 ERA. That is cold hard facts.
Yeah, no, I couldn't justify it. All right, how about Chris Tillman at the White Sox?
Yeah.
I'd rather start him than Steven Wright.
Trevor Bauer, he's been struggling. 5.19 ERA in his last 5. Bauer's got Minnesota this week.
He has struggled, but with that matchup, I feel pretty good about starting him.
I'd rather start him than Wright.
Would you rather start Bauer or like a two-start Archie Bradley against Washington and Milwaukee?
Well, if it's Bradley you're comparing him to, I think I'd go Bauer, yeah.
Yeah, that's close, but probably Bauer.
How about someone that I'm too afraid to sit or to start, rather? James Paxton, Boston and the Angels, 2 home starts.
You're afraid to start him two-star week?
He was so disappointing last time, and one of those starts is Boston.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't go 6 innings, so I guess that made it a disappointment, but it wasn't a bad start.
I was shocked that you left him on the waiver wire in the editorial league.
I didn't leave him. I dropped him.
Wow.
I had to.
Things are looking up for James Paxton. He's throwing his curveball again.
A lot of good that did him last time against the Pirates. 5 innings, 6 hits, 3 runs.
How many strikes? 6 strikeouts in 5 innings.
Yeah.
And that was after, you know, a completely dominant start the previous turn. I think if it was just one start against Boston, okay, you said him. 2 starts, one of them against the Angels. I'm starting Paxton.
Would you rather own Paxton or Ian Kennedy?
Paxton.
I'm trying to decide. I've been sitting here with my finger on the drop Ian Kennedy button, trying to decide whether to add James Paxton.
Yeah, of course you should. I didn't want to drop him. I just had to because I needed to pick up Jake Barrett because I have Cody Allen. So I just, you know, it was a roster crunch for me.
See, I still don't think I'd start him this week, though.
Well, that was the thing. This is the last week of the regular season in that league, so I couldn't just stash James Paxton. I don't want to give up on James Paxton, but I had to choose. It was an easy choice for me between Skaggs and Paxton, and I picked Tyler Skaggs. And the thing about Paxton, I mean, there have been a lot of starts and stops with him. Yeah, there have been
one start Skaggs over 2 starts Paxton.
Well, just in terms of having the guy on your roster rest of season.
Yeah.
Well, this is the last week of the regular season.
No, but
he's 500.
I'm sitting Skaggs and keeping him, stashing him. I am starting a one start Jameson Taillon against the Atlanta Braves over a 2 start Paxton.
I don't think I can do that.
Oh, Tyone's been so good.
He's been very reliable, and that's obviously a good matchup.
Yeah, Kemp or no Kemp.
That's a tough call. I'd want to start Paxton in any league where I owned him, but the same goes for Tyone with that matchup. So I think just in a winner go home scenario that Heath is presenting here.
Adam and I are both in the same league in the same scenario.
I think
I would
always defer to the extra start.
Not all. Well, okay. So would you start Paxton over one start Michael Fulmer?
Who's the start against?
At home against the White Sox.
No.
Yeah. I've got 2 starts Naka, 2 start Gray, 2 start Garrett Cole, 1 start Cueto, 1 start Fulmer.
Okay.
Don't think I can start him.
Yeah. Guys, starter sit Jeff Samardzija at Philadelphia.
Probably sit him.
I would hope that I could sit him.
All right. Let's look at the rest of the pitchers that I've got on this list. Tell me who you'd be interested in picking up. Kennedy, Taillon, shallower leagues. Kennedy, Taillon, Hector Santiago. I put all their matchups in here too, I believe. Blake Snell is Minnesota this week. Mike Leake at Cincinnati as like revenge game, and they're probably going to trade Jay Bruce. I feel like you could do worse, even though he's been pretty bad lately. And Tyler Skaggs at Seattle this week.
Am I supposed to be ranking these?
No, not necessarily. Just tell me, you know, who you're interested in.
Snell, Tyone, and Skaggs.
Yep.
And I think Kennedy's, for me at least, quite a ways ahead of Leak and Santiago.
Yes, I would agree with all of that.
Okay. Next up, Ervin Santana. Ervin Santana's pitching well, 2-2 with a 2.02 ERA in his last seven, and he's got Tampa Bay on the road this week. You can't start or pick up Carlos Rodon at this point. Kevin Gausman has Texas this week. Drew Smyly has Kansas City at home. Tyler Chatwood has either, he's got a home start this week, and he's got a 5.69 ERA at home, so you probably want to avoid Chatwood this week. And Nate Eovaldi has the Mets at home. Anybody jump out there?
I feel pretty good about Santana right now. I think, I mean, it's safe to say he's been overachieving here recently, 196 ERA over his last eight starts. But he does have a tendency to streak, I feel like, to run hot and cold.
Why won't they trade him?
Well, he's signed pretty affordably, and they have the pieces in place to compete, I feel like. I know they've been terrible this year, but
he's right. Last year they showed some promise. It's been a disastrous year for them, but
yeah, you know. They have a lot of good young hitters. They have Berríos about to join Santana, hopefully to give them a decent 2-3. They could probably use more pitching help beyond that, but they feel like Santana can be part of a turnaround. But maybe they'll get a good enough offer that'll trade him and.
It's not always so easy to just trade. I mean, what the Padres are doing is kind of disgraceful. They're going to have the worst rotation, one of the worst lineups. It's just ridiculous. And sometimes you don't even have the organizational depth to throw out respectable starters. So I don't know. It's not that easy all the time. I cannot believe the Padres. Their team is pathetic. I don't even know if I can name three pitchers. Edwin Jackson. Who the hell else is in their rotation? The guy who pitched yesterday, I don't even remember who it was.
Luis Perdomo.
Jared Cozart, right?
Who?
Yeah, Jared Cozart.
Jared Cozart?
Yeah, oh,
got
sure.
Him back from the Marlins. Probably their ace. Well, I...
Who are their two starters, Scott?
If you don't just settle for mediocrity, Adam. I mean, Padres are going nowhere, so they're tearing it down and starting over. I think that's acceptable. I don't know that saving the little bit of money they're going to save with Kemp over the next 3 years. I mean, unless they.
That was a disgrace.
Yeah, that doesn't seem worth it to me because A, it's not that much money they're saving. And B, like, what are they going to use that money on in the next 3 years? I think it's going to take them that long to rebuild, probably. So I think they should have held out for more for Kemp. But otherwise, I can't criticize what they're doing.
Oh, and they got Tyson Ross coming back soon. Any day now.
Well, that helps. That's
maybe any week now.
Yeah, not
but still, I mean, get somebody respectable in there. Kendall Graveman, excuse me, is at the Angels this week. He's got a 2.91 ERA in his last eight starts. Any interest in him? And look, I'm just trying at this point to steal a win because I'm in playoff contention. That's how I'm phrasing all this. So Kendall Graveman at the Angels.
I mean, he's been pretty hot too, and I like the matchup fine. Just so boring.
At this point, like with that type of play, if you're just trying to steal a win, I'm also really interested in who is the opposing starting pitcher.
Yeah, that's a
like
good
we talked about not being excited about starting Samardzija against the Phillies. I'd take Samardzija against the Phillies over Graveman against anybody.
Right.
Is there one starter on the Angels though that would
two?
Who?
Shoemaker and Skaggs.
Oh, yeah. What the hell's the matter with me? Now I can't remember the Angels starters.
Yeah,
these guys are
better than
good.
The Padres.
Don't start Andrew Cashner this week at Colorado, but he's only 48% owned, and he had a good start. Not strikeouts, but six innings, four hits, one run, no walks against St. Louis, only two Ks. You think Cashner's under-owned at 48%?
A little.
Yeah, a little under-owned. He looks weird without his beard. Had to shave that off.
I hate the fact that teams make players shave awesome facial hair.
Well, there's only two teams that do that, right?
And they're the two worst teams.
Yankees and Marlins?
The fun killers.
What about... what about Braden Shipley, guys? Any interest in him?
A little. I need to see him do it more than just the one time, especially since his first start was so bad. But he was a prospect, not one with the kind of strikeout rate that gets me excited. But you know, a lot of people who know more than I do about those sorts of things rated him highly. So I think he's worth keeping an eye on.
You've got a lot of pitchers listed there in the for the deep league options, and he's definitely in the bottom half of those pitchers as far as
who I'd like to have.
I'd definitely rather have Homer Bailey. I would rather, if I need to win this week, I would probably rather have Brandon Finnegan.
Ooh. Against St. Louis?
They're terrible against lefties.
But Brandon Finnegan's just terrible.
No, he changed the grip on his changeup.
Okay. Shut up, Heath.
He did.
I know he did. I put it in the notes. He changed the grip on his changeup. Apparently it was acting too much like a slider or something like that. So,
You know what? Shipley said something similar after this most recent start. He said he was so amped up in that debut where he got pounded.
But Homer Bailey's the answer.
Dude, Homer Bailey is like the most overrated
pitcher. You're
not going to
let me finish my sentence.
Oh, I thought you were just joking.
No, I was serious. He was so amped up in his debut that he was overthrowing his changeup, and there wasn't enough differentiation between the fastball and the changeup. So changeup got hit hard in this most recent start. It was better. So maybe that explains Shipley's turnaround. Maybe it's a bunch of hot air. Long story short, pick up Homer Bailey.
Would you say he righted the Shipley?
I'd rather not. No,
Al would say that. That's for
he
sure.
Would.
I'm just excited they made Brandon Finnegan.
There you go. that would be a good team name. Emails, fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Let's go through this quickly here. I'm going to read this really fast. This is from Ryan D. Dear Matty, Jesus, and Felipe. Those are a loose. I've been offered Drew Pomeranz for Tanner Roark in my points league. Would you take the trade?
Not in a points league.
Yeah, I think I would in a points league.
Mm-mm. Nope. Roto, because I like Pomeranz strikeouts more, but I worry about his innings accumulation.
Have we heard anything at all about them shutting him down?
No, I just
ever?
Think he's going to go bad.
Oh, you think he's going to go bad? Okay.
I think we may be seeing the start of it.
Okay. Yeah, so Pomeranz and Roark, that was the question because I read it really fast.
I would rather have Pomeranz.
You'd rather have Pomeranz, Heath, and you'd rather have Roark, Scott?
It's really close, but yeah, I think slightly.
All right, this one is, I don't have a name here, but dear Tom, Steve, and Ted. Oh, I don't know, maybe Mets pitchers?
Sure.
No, wait.
I don't think Ted. I don't know. American I don't know who names. The Ted was.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Yeah.
I'm about to.
They're Braves, right? Glavin, Avery, and Simmons.
Ted Turner.
All right. Here's the question: 10-team 6x6 league. Let's see. Duffy 2 starts, Toronto and at Tampa Bay, or Skaggs 1 start at Seattle.
Duffy.
Yeah.
Okay. This is from Dave. Hello, Ben, Goodwin, and Mr. Friendly.
Oh, those are three of the others and lost.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
14-team head-to-head league. I have Justin Upton, Puig, Ozuna. I have Trey Turner. I have Alex Bregman. Who do I drop when JD Martinez comes off the DL, Bregman or Puig?
Martinez is still a week away. Is that right?
I think later this week he should.
Later, yeah.
But you'll get to wait until Sunday to decide.
Yes.
It's not. I know this were the exact two players we disagreed about who to start this week.
Yes.
That's funny. Puig.
You get to decide until Sunday. Let's see if Bregman has more than 2 hits.
By the way,
he got one this week. If he gets another one this coming week, then I'd definitely keep Puig.
Tom, Steve, and Ted are 3 men and a little lady, or 3 men and a baby. Tom Selleck, Steve Guttenberg, Ted Danson.
Ah, yeah.
Ah, okay.
And you guys are aware that my good friend Robin Wiseman was the little lady in 3 Men and a Little Lady?
I was not aware of that, but I did see a terribly bad movie this weekend.
So did I. What did you see?
It's an old one that I guess was my wife's favorites as a child, and she wanted to share it with our children. And great soundtrack, terrible movie, Benny and June.
Oh, I've heard that's a really bad movie.
Oh, it was painful.
Right? That's I Would Walk 500 Miles, right?
Yeah, that one's in there. There's lots of songs. The soundtrack was somewhat enjoyable, if only because there was times where there was no talking.
It's kind of interesting that I also watched the movie that my fiance loved growing up, actually terrified her growing up more than any movie, and I had never seen it somehow, and that was Child's Play.
Ah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't call it terrible, actually. I take that back. It was fine. It was
It's bad.
It was a big cliche, but I enjoyed it.
It was good enough to spawn several sequels.
It's better than Benny and June.
I'm sure it is. I heard that's one of the worst movies, yeah. Let's see. Last one, or a couple more here if we can. Start 2 out of 3. It doesn't say if it's points or... Oh, it's points league. Hayward, Mazzara, and Saunders.
Mazzara and Saunders.
Yes.
Ryan from Seattle. Should I add Braden Shipley and drop Mike Fultonevich in a 10-team NL Only Dynasty League?
Yes.
I like Fulty's upside more.
All right. And
that throws 98.
Yeah.
Okay. Marquise from Ohio. Dear Tommy, Chucky, and Phil, those are Rugrats. Grade the trade. 3 outfielder, 5x5 categories, keeper league, OBP instead of average. Give up Yelich and Tanaka. Get David Price. And he still has Stanton, Fowler, Marte, Bautista, and Dahl in the outfield. So give up Yelich and Tanaka for Price. Grade the trade.
B. I like it.
Yeah, I'm going to go B+. I thought it was a C- until I saw the other outfielders he had left.
Contextual extra credit. We love it. That's it for the first of 2 trade deadline shows. We'll have more madness for... Oh, wait. Let's check the old website. Anything happen so far?
I don't believe so. I've been actually checking Twitter throughout the show. I haven't seen anything yet.
All right, fine. So, Jay Bruce, Jonathan Lucroy, you could be on the move. And that is it. Wait, the
Mariners
Marlins
closing in on a Zach Cozart.
Yeah, that's what I was looking at. They're going to trade Zach Cozart. I was thinking that the Padres were trading Jared Cozart just to make their rotation even worse. All right, I'm done talking. Goodbye. Mazzara and Parra project to Elimora, Herrera, Cabrera. Don't let the bait that scare ya, Machado.